Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
What do a cabin in the woods inhabited by an evil entity and a little boy whose soul is threatened by malevolent spirits have in common?
I have no idea. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched Evil Dead.
And this week I watched Insidious.
And now it's time to make
the movie connection. Everybody, welcome in. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to broaden our individual movie horizons and just to remain connected in general, we decided to connect over that thing that we really enjoy, both of us. It was a big thing in our household growing up. What is it, Casey?
Movies.
Yeah, movies. So every week we assign each other movies to watch, usually that we haven't seen before, and then we sit down, we watch them, we discuss them, and then we review them, and we try to figure out, hey, is there any connective tissue between these two different movies?
Any at all.
Anything.
Any little thing.
And we've had a bit of a theme these past few episodes. You know, it's that spooky season, so Our movies have been reflecting that. And we've even got a little special guest. He was in on the previous episode, and we had him back to share his thoughts on one of the movies that we will be discussing tonight.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Stephen Jackley, really excited to share more of his words of wisdom and his favorite scenes from Evil Dead 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey, yeah, which was the movie you were assigned this week?
Yeah.
And I mean, they're familiar name, you know, I mean, we just saw Evil Dead 2, but then
familiar concept,
right?
Cabin,
yep,
sketch ass book,
yep, classic, but
this
but
one
a little
is
different.
So much better.
Yeah, right, I agree.
I looked back at my rating and I'm like, I can't believe I rated that one so high. I must have been feeling like excited. I don't know, but
right.
This one is so much better.
Right. This
and
is
my
just
rating doesn't really reflect how much better it is, because I think I should have rated the other one lower, but right, it is better.
Right. It's more what I want out of a horror movie. Like, just, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit.
We will. It's going to be a fun discussion.
Heck yeah. And Steven really enjoyed it too, which I was happy to hear. Yeah. So, and then I, meanwhile, got some Insidious from the director of Saw, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. And Aquaman.
What?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
And The Conjuring, which now that deserves
that
respect.
That makes sense.
I love The Conjuring.
Conjuring's great.
I don't think I've seen any of the other ones, though. Are they any good?
I think that the sequel was good. I'm trying to remember. You know, with horror movies, it's weird because after the first one, all the sequels sort of usually kind of blend together for me.
Right.
Which maybe isn't the case for other genres, but the horror movies really do try to stick to, like, the same
formula.
Recipe.
Right.
Formula.
Yeah,
formula works better than recipe. Or,
either way.
We're not a cooking show. but, you know, and it works. For horror movies, it's like the one genre where I'm like, yeah, you should be making the same movie over and over again with different people and just changing like a tiny bit here and a tiny bit there.
Right.
It works.
Like, yeah, I feel like the 80s horror movies were a little more distinctive from their numbers, like from movie to movie, where it's like Nightmare on Elm Street 1 versus 2 versus 3, I can pretty much tell you, you know, differentiate. But actually, like, going forward, like Final Destination 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like, kind of all blend together. Scream, like, same thing. Yeah.
And Saws, even know? The Saw movies. Like, yep. After the first two, I was like, oh, yeah. We understand the premise of this.
Like,
they're all blending together.
Like, wait, are we talking about Saw 3 or 4? I don't
know.
Yeah, for sure. Which is maybe a problem, you know? Maybe make your sequels more distinctive, people. Come on.
Maybe.
Awesome. So let's not waste any time since we do have Steven that we want to hear from. Let's just dive right in here. Casey, I believe it is your turn to start.
It is.
All right. Hit me up with Evil Dead 2013.
All right. Mia is struggling with drug addiction. So her brother David and her friends Olivia, Natalie, and Eric go to stay at a remote cabin to help her with her detox. While they're there, they find the Book of the Dead, and Eric stupidly reads a passage, accidentally summoning demons who start taking possession of each person until only David is left to fight his demon-possessed sister.
Yeah. Sick. Good.
Yeah.
That's a short solid explanation.
And to the point. Thank you.
I know you've been skeptical of your skills at telling synopsis for horror movies. It
is hard with the horror movies for me, but this one was easier because I was like, well, really, there's like four things that happen. So if I just list them.
And I love... awesome. No, great description. Like, yeah, see, right off the bat, there's a little more going on with this one where it's like, yeah, before Kevin in the Woods guy possessed dealing with it kind of situation. But with this one, you know, I loved this concept of it being a detox situation.
Me too.
Like solid, very unique, but and like relatable, all these things.
Very real life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, what a great plan to have a nurse with you to have, like, it was well thought out and it was a very believable situation.
Yeah.
And even some family drama mixed in there, too, which was kind of fun.
The family drama, which, yeah, is actually associated with my questions. So cool. Should we dive right in?
Let's do it.
Love a good segue. So, right, in addition to delivering the serious scares, there is a story about, you know, a brother and sister, you know, Mia and David. Is there some connection between the horrors that they face and the horrors of their past? You know, does this horror movie have a little something to say?
Oh, I love that. I always like when scary movies have like actual story, like, you know, the example being like Babysitter, when I was like, well, you could take away all the horror aspects of that movie and be like, this is about a boy growing up.
Right.
And sort of the same here, right? Like they're dealing with their familial trauma. Like,
yeah,
she was sort of feeling abandoned by her brother, and then in the end he sort of feels abandoned, but he gets the chance to step up,
right? There's the redemption,
which is something
arc.
He didn't, yeah, which I loved.
Yeah.
And you know, she basically like sort of alludes that, you know, he says that their mom had mental health problems, she alludes that their mom like was abusive, you know, and that she was kind of alone and felt abandoned during that, so right. Yeah, I definitely think that he had to go through some of the same issues in the haunted cabin as well.
Right. Got a little taste of the horrors of drug addiction. Yeah, essentially the movie, yeah, just one big public service announcement.
Trip.
Yeah, don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs.
See, I love that. Sorry, go ahead.
I have to say, like, I was so bummed when I started watching this because I realized the movie I should have assigned you wasn't the movie that I told you. And I know I had some regrets on not assigning you Drag Me to Hell because that's, like, a remembered favorite of mine.
That's frequently mentioned in the horror community. A lot of people like that one. A lot of people... That's a Sam Raimi, which is good and... yeah, we've talked a little bit about him.
Yeah.
And, so that would have been interesting.
And I, like, had genuine fondness for that movie when it came out, like, yeah. Weirdly.
I think you said it was your favorite movie. Like, yeah.
My favorite horror movie, for sure, probably. At least, like, that I can... It's a distinctive one enough for me to remember and to, like, have enjoyed a lot. But when I was watching this, I was like, I should have assigned you Shrooms.
Oh, Shrooms. Oh, I thought you... Oh.
You remember that movie?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
It's when a bunch of
friends go to the forest and they do mushrooms together, but one of them eats like an actual poisonous mushroom and starts murdering the other friends.
Right.
And so you're trying to figure out who the bad guy is while everyone is also tripping on hallucinogenics. Mm. It would have been a really fun comparison to this movie,
right?
Because of, like, you know, the drug comparison there, and also just like the forest and murdering people.
the murdering.
Great movie. We'll definitely assign that to you. I'll assign both of those to you next Halloween, right, for sure.
Right. Heck yeah. So what differences and or similarities did you find between this one and Evil Dead 2, you know?
Well, the cabin, right, for sure. Like cabin I mentioned earlier.
Pretty much the same. Like
it did, yeah. The cabin, the book, and the idiots reading the books, which feels crazy. And, well, the possession, obviously.
Right.
As well. The chainsaw.
Yeah, chainsaw makes a comeback.
Use of chainsaw, yeah.
A beautiful way.
It does, yeah. Very satisfying.
Very satisfying ending. Like, I loved that shit. Like, yeah, of course I would. I was like, whoa, oh my God, the blood.
Oh, so much.
So much blood.
It's like raining blood.
Literally raining blood.
My nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. But any similarities, but then the differences, right? What do we got?
Definite differences, yeah. The differences, like, being that this movie takes itself more seriously. I still think that there were parts of it that were really funny, but, you know,
less so, though.
Less so. Yeah. I don't know if that's like my more cynical side thinking some of it was funny.
Right.
Like, I'm like fucked up a little bit, but I was like genuinely laughing with the nail gun scene.
Yeah. Why does my face hurt? It's like, well, you like, kind of just used a nail gun on your face.
And like the little phrases that the demon was saying were like making me laugh so hard. I'm not going to give away my favorite quote or anything, but it's in there.
Great.
But definitely different kinds of humor.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
But for the most part,
definitely took itself more seriously, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was way more like, it was more scary than the first Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
For sure.
Genuinely scary, yeah.
Definitely a lot of jump scares.
And that leads nicely into my next question. Did anything scare you? Any, you know, you get any jumps? Anything going like, anything like that? Or just disturbed?
Well, I liked my first, like, it didn't jump scare me, but I liked when the girl was about to burn, her dad was burning her, and then she was like, I'll burn your soul, or your soul will burn for this, or whatever she says.
Right. And then the dad's like, I love you, baby, or whatever. I'm like, oh, sad. Shit. It's really, shit. It was good
this
shit.
Is not good.
Yeah.
So there was that one, and then definitely a lot of jump scares, and I can't really think of any that stood out to me. A lot of it always has to do with the music.
Yeah.
When the music shifts and changes, and then we have like a screechy violin.
Of course, yeah.
With the demon, you know.
What about the girl carving her face? That gets
I was
me.
Just gonna say, like, the part that I genuinely had to look away for was the Olivia carving her face. Very brutal, man. Holy shit.
Yeah, man. A lot of discomfort, like, scares, where it's just like, that's kind of where the scare came from. It wasn't your typical jump scare.
I gotta say, I was not a fan when Mia was in the tree and the thing went up.
Yeah.
Her vagina.
We don't need to talk about that. No.
It was so horrifying.
Horrifying. Like, yeah, you don't want that to happen. Now, see, and, yeah, that was updated. Yeah, something else happens in the original Evil Dead scene, because, yeah, it's an infamous scene. Done differently, but, yeah, this one, yeah, made it far more disturbing. And, yeah, but still legitimately terrifying and upsetting.
Oh, so
like
upsetting.
I said, see, it scenes like that, and then just the horror is more drawn out. Like, it's more about, like, the nail gun scene, the arm being slowly, like, torn off, like, where you're just like, oh, my God. Like, yeah. Yikes.
Ooh.
Talk about gore, you know?
Yeah, lots of gore.
What did you think? This is one of my favorite aspects. I love it more and more each time, and Steven draws even more attention to it, where it's like, what did you think about Mia's turn from this victim character to full-blown, like, final girl status, as they call it?
Yeah, I really loved her arc. Of being like, yeah, like you said, like a victim, like she's struggling. She is withdrawing from drugs. She's just like really bummed about where she's at in her life. To like this girl who's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I've got my body back.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking control,
yeah,
which again can be like that parallel of getting off of drugs too. Like she's like, I have my body back. The drugs don't have control.
Right.
Like I am a strong woman. Mm-hmm. I can fight my own battles.
Give me that chainsaw.
Give me the chainsaw. I'm going to do some sawing.
Right. So yeah, I just love that because, and that's another interesting thing about the horror genre is final girl. Like, have you heard these terms? Final girl, scream queen. Like there's like,
scream queen. I've heard of for sure.
There's archetypes within the horror community, you know?
Yeah. There's a TV show that Emma Roberts did for a while called Scream Queen or Scream Teen or something like that. But it was like a sort of mockery of that, trope, you know,
yeah.
Which was, it was a fun TV show. It was really fun.
Heck yeah. Very cool. So before we get to the favorite questions, Casey, I'm going to have Steven jump in here and let's hear his thoughts about the movie real quick.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Here we go. And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. So I'm here once
again. Do you have ads before this? Sorry.
No ads. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
I was just like, that'd be a nice segue for the and we're back, is like having an ad in the middle of it,
right? I mean, maybe we should, like, there's this one podcast I listen to that they insert like time period specific commercials from the day.
Oh, nice.
Like from whatever cool year that they're covering, and that's always fun. So, and we like to introduce stuff like that, so maybe in the future. All right, here we go. So welcome back, everybody. Once again, here with my friend Stephen Jackley, here to talk about Evil Dead. Like, notice, there's no the, there's no number. Like, we're just talking Evil Dead, okay?
that was probably the worst part of this movie.
Yeah.
Because it only gets better from here. But I hated that trope where it's like, let's just take the off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or and then they started doing it with those action star movies. So it's not Rocky, you know, it's Rocky Balboa. It's,
oh yeah,
it's
the John Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious. Oh, like, come on, guys.
Yes, I know.
And that's worse because they're like sequels. This is at least a remake.
Yes. See, and okay, cool. Let's dive right into that. Okay. So, Stephen, so is this a remake? Is this fitting into, like, yeah, the sequels? Where do you fall on this?
Well, this I think this, if anything, was more of a what do they call them now? Requel?
Yeah,
like requel, mixed. Right. Yeah, like whatever the kids are calling them today. but yeah, I think it's more of like that, where they add something new, mm-hmm. and but kind of keep all the original stuff. And a lot less comedy.
A lot less comedy. Yes, thank you.
But I respect that. I actually respected that a lot. That they were like, you know, we're not going to match Bruce Campbell's level of slapstick. Like, we have to do something different.
Right. Yeah, totally. And, like, and that's what makes it appealing to me a little bit more. Because I can be like, oh, this is a little, yeah, trying something different. And also feels a little bit more like a straightforward horror. But also, I mean, the gore factor, which I am 110% here for.
And I don't even know if they upped the gore factor. They made it more realistic.
There we go. Yeah, that's like, true.
they made it more scary.
Yeah.
So it's like they had so much gore in Evil Dead 2, but it was all campy.
That's true.
And here it's like some of the most graphic stuff I've seen. And for somebody like me, I like all different kinds of horror. Yes. So I can get an Evil Dead 2. And if I feel like the remake, I want something a little darker.
Yep.
I can just watch that one next, you know?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So perfect. So maybe a little bit of history with this one for you, Evil Dead. Like, did you come at this like high expectations, low expectations, you know, anything like that?
Again, I feel like my main respect for Evil Dead has been recent.
Right.
Like in the last 5, maybe 10 years. So maybe around this time. And maybe this was when I started to feel that. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, maybe I revisited it. I don't remember a lot about the franchise. But maybe I revisited it after I saw this and started to get the kind of the better understanding of how it worked. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, this one I absolutely loved. And I don't usually, remakes are hard to come by in terms of like quality. And I would put this up, like, I think Hills Have Eyes was another remake that was done maybe almost 10 years prior that just kind of killed it. It just made it so much better. And this was the same, where it's just like, oh, this isn't your same Evil Dead movie. And they kind of, you know, they'd loved it based on the cabin and based on like the gore.
Yeah, for sure.
But they just wanted to do something different. And I respect that. I think it was a great choice too, because it could have took it in a wrong direction, which sucks because it doesn't even seem like it matters, because it took years for even a show to come out. They haven't really been touching. I think they're doing like something else with Evil Dead right now, but I'm not familiar with what.
Right. I mean, see, they have a video game now, which
awesome. I'm liking that. I wish, sorry.
Oh, no worries.
No, I wish I was more into games now, because they had like a Friday 13th game, and now they're going to have Texas Chainsaw and Evil Dead and, and Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Yes. They just announced that game's coming. Like, I'm like, this is a great time if I was 15 years younger, maybe. Right.
I know. Like, I've tried, like, because they're a specific kind of, like, video game called, like, asymmetrical horror. Yeah. So, and, there's a learning curve, a skill curve. So that can be frustrating, but dang, the Evil Dead game in particular, very much made with love and like respect for the genre, which kind of seems to come with the Evil Dead franchise. Everybody seems to be treating it with respect for the most part, because everything that's come out of it has been pretty dang good. Like, even so, we've got this, and then we had the show that we've mentioned that is also pretty good quality and all this stuff. So, kind of rare to find in a horror franchise.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like just saying, ah, put the leprechaun in Vegas and see what happens. Like, Jason needs to go to space because we need to decide what to, or he's like a parasite that just goes into different people. Like, that was a thing that happened. That was weird.
That was.
Oh, but thing. So it's Evil Dead Rise, and it's scheduled for release. I guess they're doing another movie. On HBO Max, and it's scheduled for 2023.
I will watch it.
I'm excited for it. I couldn't remember if it was, because there's so much like redistribution of content right now, so I couldn't remember if it was a movie or a show, because like they got a new Hellraiser coming out right now that looks cool.
Absolutely. Wait, they do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And Scream, like they're redoing again. So there's a ton of stuff coming.
Yeah, man. And then, I mean, I'm sure you've already seen it. So Pearl and or X.
What about it?
Well, have you seen that?
I have not seen Pearl yet. I am going to go soon. My girlfriend had, timely, but COVID last week when it came out. So.
Gotcha.
We had to make sure I didn't get it since I got it a month before. So I was in the clear, but she had to deal with that. So we haven't seen Pearl yet, but I loved X. I thought X was one of the best horror movies of this year.
Yes. Awesome. So it sounds like rumbling seemed to be like, these are the, Well, I don't want to say, like, I don't know, but it's kind of shaking up the genre again, well, shaking up the...
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, again, like, I can always talk horror.
Yeah.
So the great thing about Ty West is the guy mm-hmm. who directed it, yeah. and he does these nice nods, not these, like, just kind of ripping off old way of filmmaking.
Right.
But he does these really awesome nods to filmmaking. And he did House of the Devil a while ago, like 10 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And then he did a movie called The Innkeepers. Both really good movies, solid movies. And it took him a while because he started directing all these shows. A lot of directors will go to TV shows because it's good money.
Right.
And so seeing him be able to come out with X and then now with Pearl, and there's always already a third one in the mix.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm happy he's finally getting kind of noticed, because back in the day he did House of the Devil and Keepers, and those two movies are amazing. They would be great for your show.
Okay. Awesome. Steven coming in with the recommendations. I love it.
I'm just going to keep recommending horror movies the whole time.
I love it. Awesome, my friend. Okay, well now let's get to some of the meat and potatoes of Evil Dead. Let's do the favorite questions. Okay, so Steven, did you have a favorite performance in Evil Dead?
Yes. I love Jane Levy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Eugene Levy, so Jane Levy.
Got it. There you go.
I watched her in this, and then she did another. The director did Don't Breathe. Okay. And she was in that too. She starred in that.
Gotcha.
With Shiloh, by the way, who was also in this movie.
Oh shit.
But recently, because of my love of musicals, she was in the show Zoe's Extreme Playlist or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It was a musical, and I thought it was great. I loved it, but mm-hmm. It got canceled. But when I realized that, oh, that's the same actress, I was like, oh, I have to revisit these movies and watch them again.
Heck yeah.
She's really good.
God, she's so good.
I'm always into those emo.
Yes.
Female-led stories. Like,
totally.
Give a girl a drug problem, and yes. I'm like following her to the end.
Right. Dude, yeah, no, she killed it. yeah, dude, by the end, like raining blood all over her, I'm like, yes, yes.
And I liked how they pretended it was going to be the brother, and, you know, right. like, he was going to be the lead. I liked how they did that. And I even, like, changing it up, like, burying her and making you just think she's out of the movie. Yes. And then bringing that back, like, there's so many ways that they spun it differently to make it a different movie, but still good.
Agreed. And yes, I love that you pointed out the thing with the brother. I love that misdirect, like, and it never gets old in, like, a horror or suspense genre. Like, Hostel comes to mind is another one, where it's like, oh, you thought it was about this guy, but nah, motherfucker, it's it's this guy.
Yeah, which is funny. Well, I don't want to talk about Hostel because that's not one of my favorite movies of all time.
Me neither.
But it's funny because I knew the actor that was ended up being the lead more than the other guy. So to me, when I watched that movie, that guy was the lead.
Right. Got it.
That's just kind of how I saw it. But yeah, I got that after. Everybody was like, oh, he was supposed to be the lead. I'm like, that nobody that I didn't see in anything ever? Okay, sure.
Sure. Awesome. And then did you have an honorable mention in here?
Well, Shiloh, the brother.
There we go.
Yep. Yeah, and he's great in Don't Breathe. He doesn't have a big part in it, but he's great in that one too. He's a really good, solid actor, just in general. But the sacrifice thing, like, you uh-huh. can't go wrong with that.
Yep.
I forgot who the blonde guy, like Lewis something.
Right.
The one that was reading the book and just yes. they're like stopped reading it, and he just keeps doing it.
Yeah, and then
he was super interesting. Like, so I don't good. Know what he was doing, but it was super interesting.
Super interesting. And, like, yeah, and then passes judgment on everybody else somehow. And it's like, wait, what?
But still somehow likable.
Yeah, but still somehow likable. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep.
He should have been, like, a really jerk type of character, but I don't know. I ended up liking him.
Yeah, same. Awesome. So then, favorite scene?
Oh man, it's got to be. I don't remember where it was. Was it in the bathroom where she's sawing at her face with glass.
Oh god. Yes. Oh god.
Because like I remember, I actually remember still watching that in the theater and hearing the noise before you see it.
Right.
And just sounds like the worst thing. I did a short film. My very first short film is called Peekaboo.
Right.
And there's a scene, you know, Elise Fosmart.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Shout out to Portland local filmmakers. Uh-huh. But she was in my first short film, and I have a scene where she's cutting her face with glass, but it's, we watch her back. We don't see it actually happening.
Right.
And so to put that little sound effect in, that's kind of a nod to like Evil Dead, where it's like, because you just feel that yes. noise before you yes. see what's actually happening to her.
So much so. Oh my God. Yeah. Just talking about it. Yeah. Yep.
It was good. It was visceral. Very.
Exactly. It gets in there. It gets in there. And then we already kind of mentioned, like, when it comes to quotes, a little loosey-goosey, but did you maybe have a standout favorite quote for this one?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think this one really, they just said something about going to hell at the end before she saws into the deadite.
Yes.
Yeah. But, oh, right. I mean, that was kind of cheesy. I don't think this one went for lines, to be honest.
It's true.
I'd have to like watch it again and see if there was anything kind of poetic in some of the stuff they were saying to each other. But
right. Man, it gets me when she's like, when he is like in the midst of burying her and she's just like kind of like goading him a little bit, you know. Just like,
I would probably go back to like the Deadeye, like what she says. Yeah. Like I would probably pick one of those. And she was so good as like an evil person too.
Very much so. She's so small. That was the other impressive thing. It's like, no, you're convincing as, the scream queen, and then you're convincing as the freaking, scary, Deadeye. Jesus.
That's why, like, they completely subvert your expectations, because it's like, you're watching her go through all this the entire time, and you're like, oh, that's it. She's just gonna die. Mm-hmm. And then she gets to come back. It's great.
It's so good. So then... So out of 5 stars, how many stars?
I put it 5 stars. Absolutely. But I think it deserves it. I think what they did with Evil Dead 2, well, to get away from Evil Dead 2 and like mm-hmm. what everything else was doing, like not many people can do that. I mean, if you remember Chucky going, like having a kid, and one of them was called Bride of Chucky, like they did the drama switch to comedy, and it to me didn't work. I know for a lot of people it did, but that didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting back to the horror of it, and I like that.
Good.
And here it's the opposite, where it's the slapstick and then they go straight to the horror, and it still works.
Definitely. Amazing. And then, you know, kind of, we did a similar thing with Evil Dead 2, like, so who are you recommending Evil Dead to? Is this going to be a different audience member than, somebody interested 100%. In Evil Dead 2?
I don't know if I would even, like, recommend this to, like, people just getting into horror. I think mm-hmm. you need to be kind of deep in it before you get to this level of kind of gore.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not comedy, so you can't be like, oh, I like my comedy dipped in my horror. It has to be like, no, it has to be horrific, but you also have to be able to handle the gore and the sound effects that come with that.
Awesome. Okay, well, this concludes our 2-movie interview with Stephen Jackley.
Portland. Sweet, that went fast.
I know, man.
We gotta do this again.
Heck yeah. Oh, no doubt, because, I mean, you've recommended, 10, 15 movies at this point that we have to cover.
Yeah, we're gonna have a long winter.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, thank you for joining us. Any last-minute plugs, perhaps, of projects?
So when this comes out, I'll be neck deep in an Indiegogo project that I'm doing. It's a proof of concept. Sorry, that sucked. I don't know if you heard that sound, but I'll be neck deep in an Indiegogo project. It's called Morbid Curiosities for Your Sinister Thoughts. Ooh, and it's awesome. My first feature film that I want to make. So this will be the proof of concept that I'll kind of bring to investors and producers and try to get some money that transcends Portland film community, because it's such a small small number that we get around here.
Absolutely.
That's what I'll be doing the next couple months.
I love it. Well, best of luck on that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. I've listened to this from the beginning. So it's nice to see you still sticking with it through the pandemic, because it's been hard.
Oh, big time, man. Thank you so much for the support. Yeah. All right, everybody. And now we're going to get back to me and Casey. Here we are. And there you go. So
awesome. Awesome. Insightful.
Awesome having Steven share his thoughts. And I really do look forward to him being on future episodes. Like, definitely going to assign you The Thing, and going to have him back to hear his thoughts on that. It's a great movie.
Awesome. Can't wait.
So awesome. So we already heard Steven's favorite. So let's get to your favorite questions, Casey.
Favorites.
All right. So starting with favorite performance.
That goes to Jessica Lucas, who played Olivia, the nurse friend.
What?
Who was the first one who died. I just, like, don't know. I felt so drawn to her character.
Wow.
And I thought she really sold it.
So
and
surprising. Awesome.
I know, but I thought she was so good. My honorary mention does go to Jane Levy, who played Mia.
She was
fabulous. She was so good.
Yeah, she's the shit. Yeah. I really want to see her in more stuff. And I love her voice. And she's got that,
me too,
that goth girl thing going on.
Yeah. Hell yeah. She's cool.
Favorite scene.
That's the nail gun scene. I sort of alluded to that earlier. But that scene, I got joy out of it and also horror. Because it is an upsetting scene, but it is also kind of funny. Also, what a way to go, man. Like, yeah. We have a nail gun down in our basement, and I thought, man, it would suck to get shot by that thing. Like,
just a bit. God, yeah, it's fair. It does take a turn for comedic, but then back to horror, and then
there's a lot of emotions that happen during that scene, because you also just have a moment of, like, the bros being bros, like, they're starting to find their way back to, like, maybe friendship before the nail gun lady comes in and just starts fucking, or what is her name, Natalie?
Yeah.
Just starts fucking shooting them.
Shooting them. Yeah. Nailed it. All right.
Nailed it.
Great. So, favorite quote.
This is my favorite. So, it's said by demon-possessed Mia.
Mia, she has so many levels in this movie. She gets to be possessed. She gets to be the victim.
She does.
She gets to be the badass. Like, yeah, okay.
Kiss me, you dirty cunt.
What the fuck? How did I know? Why did I know that was going to be your favorite quote? And and now follow up with that is, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Literally could not stop laughing. I was dying because it feels like so out of place in that moment is why it's my favorite, drastic, by the way.
And very, like, you know, it's fitting for a demon. Like, it's very, like,
crude.
Brutal, violent, crude, right?
Although, memorable. You know, I don't give a lot of power to most words. And in England, they call everyone cunts.
Oh, I know, yeah.
So I'm so desensitized to that word at this point from, like, listening to British podcasts and shit, that part doesn't bother me too much, but it is just, like, so out of place in the moment, and the voice that she uses is really funny. The whole thing just, like, made me laugh, and I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, yep, that's my favorite.
It does stick out. It is one of my favorite moments too, but at the same time, like, it's a problem.
It's like one of those things that if we were kids and we had this on VCR, we would have rewound it to play that, like, a couple of times because we would have been laughing. It's like one of those moments where you're like, why do I think this is hilarious? I don't know, but I do think it's hilarious.
Totes. Totes my goats. All right, Casey, out of 5 stars, how many stars are you going to give Evil Dead?
I'm giving it 3.5.
3.5. Solid. Solid
Very
score.
Solid.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It was really fun.
Great. And
I almost gave it a 4, and I probably would have if it just, like, I don't know what it was missing, but it was just missing a little something, and I would have given it that, you know.
For sure.
Very close.
Heck yeah. Great. And then would you rewatch or recommend?
Yeah, why not? It was a fun watch.
It's great for Halloween time. Like, it.
So yeah. Great.
Yeah. And it's one of the best Cabin in the Woods movies. Like, I really like the direction they took it. But now they took The Evil Dead, and now it's got a TV show which stars Bruce Campbell again. I want them to merge these two universes. I want Mia and like Ash to team up, you know?
That would be so cool.
I think it would be badass. We do have a new Evil Dead movie coming. It's called Evil Dead Rise. I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, that could be fun.
So, you know, we'll see. Maybe it will be the movie that merges these two universes.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, would you reboot this?
I just put, yeah, why not? It's super fun. It's like, it's one of those things, like, it is part of a franchise, so it's sort of being rebooted.
Sure.
But I like that they had, like, some story in there with, you know, their family issues and the drug addiction and stuff. And I'd like to see a little more of that in the horror genre. Mm-hmm. And I think you do sometimes, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
makes it different.
It does, like Steven mentioned, it's like, it's kind of a franchise that, yeah, you just can't really go wrong with it. Like,
that's true, yeah.
So, heck yeah. Good for you, Evil Dead. All right, one movie down. Moving on to the next.
All right.
All right, let me tell you a little something about a movie called Insidious. There's a lot of S's at the end. A family played by, well, I'm not going to mention all of them, but just the main ones. Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne, who play Mommy and Daddy. A family who recently moved to a new house start experiencing increasingly strange and unusual events in the house. Voices over the baby monitor, figures that come and go as they please, and eventually one of Renee and Josh's kids goes to sleep and shows no signs of waking up. With doctors confounded by young Dalton's condition, Josh and Renee are left to care for Dalton until he hopefully recovers and wakes up. With nowhere else to turn, with the hauntings becoming more frequent and frightening, Renee contacts an old acquaintance from Josh's past named Elise, a paranormal specialist who informs the family that this is no ordinary case of a haunted house, but a haunted person, and that person is none other than Dalton. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, excellent job.
Yeah.
I love it.
Kind of short, sweet, to the point.
And hell Lisa, yeah.
Wondering, like, you know, yeah. Awesome. So that's Insidious. Like, yeah, I'd heard of this, but honestly, I think I got it confused with this movie called Dead Silence.
Okay.
Which has a puppet on the cover, like doing one of these numbers, which, you know, the finger to the lips type situation. And very much can tell that it was made by the same makers of Saw, because puppets, they tend to do that.
I don't like puppets.
It's same here. Now, nightmare. Fortunately, no puppets here.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Instead, we got people in red lipstick. We got, you know, little kids that are almost puppet sized. Like, they're pretty small.
Little tiny kids.
Yeah. But no puppets. There is a drawing of the puppet from Saw at one point. Did you notice that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there's... at one point we see Patrick Wilson's character, he's a teacher and everything, and there's a chalkboard, and yeah, you can see the,
oh, so sneaky.
Yeah, a little Saw puppet. So, but then The Conjuring, which I mentioned earlier, like, I actually really like that franchise, and there's the Conjuring franchise, and then there's the, yeah, this franchise, which they've had a few movies.
Yeah, but yeah, I really... this one has like four, I think.
Yeah, I liked The Conjuring a lot, though, because I liked how The Conjuring kind of merged. That one merges, like, found footage with the real-life stuff going on, and I liked that touch.
Yes, me too.
This one kind of does that, but no found footage. You don't really, yeah, no real found footage. But anyway.
Right.
And apparently the director was inspired while making this to come up with The Conjuring, so it was Insidious that kind of gave us The Conjuring. And,
well, that's, you know, kind of cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this movie in the theater, maybe?
Really?
I went through a phase in my life where I was really obsessed with horror movies. Like, I used to, when I was a teenager, me and my niece, who's the same age as me, we would, like, watch horror movies every weekend to the point where we would scare ourselves so we couldn't even sleep. Like, sort of desensitized myself to them, though, to a point where I was, like, not scared anymore. And then I was like, oh, it's not as fun when you don't have the adrenaline rush of being scared.
Right.
And then just started, like, leaning heavily into comedy stuff when life got hard. when I started to grow up.
Yeah.
But I think this was, like, during, I feel like this came out, 2010. So while I was in high school. And I feel like we saw it in the theaters. And I did think it was pretty fun. A little bit different than some other. It's, like, kind of classic, right?
See, I was going to say, this is, like, perfect beginner-level scary movie
stuff.
Where it's, like, if you want to see...
Because it's, like, takes a long time to get actually scary, too, right?
It takes a while. But this is great to see. If it's, like, you want to know if you can handle scary movies, this will give you your basics.
Totally.
You got the jump scares. You got the... Yeah, the supernatural elements. Like, there's a lot of... Yeah, there's some good stuff in here.
Yeah. Let's get into the Q&A.
Hit me with the Q&A.
Love it. Ooh, you got to do that every time now. lots of little jump scares. Did one... I feel like we both have the same question here, but did one stand out to you? Did one get you more than the others?
So it's hard to get me... So this was... let's see. I think this was one that I had to kind of watch on a smaller screen. Sometimes I have to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper. I'm sorry. And there's this awesome site I found called, like, Billabilibi or something like that. And they've had a ton of great free stuff on there. So, but you can't watch it on, you know, streaming.
On a big TV. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. But anyway, so that doesn't help. But, you know, it's kind of hard to get me. Now, in a movie theater, different story. It's way easier to get you. And I do kind of enjoy seeing horror movies in theaters for that reason.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Plus, and there's this, like, whole room of energy you're feeding off of.
Right. And especially, in particular, the found footage kind of movies for some reason are... Yeah, that's what I saw the most frequently. Like, and I was really into the Paranormal Activity
movies. Oh, hell yeah.
When those were going on, but then they got weird. After about three. But I would show up for those, but then, but of any, like, it's actually the ones that, the infamous one where they're talking in the middle of the room and it cuts to the demon, the red lipstick demon right behind somebody's head, and he kind of just presents himself and you're not expecting it. That's pretty good. Like, moments like that where it's like, oh, this is happening right in front of them. Like,
right.
Like the little kid just popping out of the wardrobe where it's just like, wait, what the?
Yeah.
I mean, that's bold. Like, things don't happen like this.
Yeah.
I was surprised by... That was kind of jarring to me, where it's just like, no, I'm seeing this, and she's seeing this at the same time.
Right.
A lot of the times in horror, they play with point of view, where it's like, I'll see something, but then we cut to her point of view, like she doesn't, maybe, or vice versa.
Totally.
So you always leave the disbelief. But when it's happening, like, in the same shot, it's like, yeah, it was jarring to me, where... If that makes sense. You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, there's no question. This is happening. Like,
right.
Which has started leading me to believe. It's like, okay, are these real people? Because that guy even looks like he's just wearing a leather jacket. Like,
it's like, totally.
We got all these different time periods. Like, yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Love it. People often compare this to the movie Poltergeist.
Yeah. Never
have
seen
you
it.
Seen that movie? Me neither.
So I've never seen it. I believe, is that a Steven Spielberg movie?
Oh my god, is it?
Okay, it was just produced and written by Steven Spielberg, but still,
cool.
Like,
yeah, still a big deal.
Yeah. But anyway, so I've never seen it, but I, you know, anytime they do a Steven Spielberg biography, they will mention it See, yeah, that's why I got the impression that he directed it, is it's featured in a lot of his bios. He must have been involved in the process a lot and everything like that. But haven't seen it. And no real desire. Like, honestly, when you get into certain time periods, horror... I'm a bit of a snob, I guess, about it.
Okay.
You know.
How so?
I don't know. Where it's just like... Like... That level, like, so it's a haunted house. Like, haunted house isn't my favorite genre either, of horror stuff. There's a lot of haunted house movies out there.
Yeah, a lot of them.
House on Haunted Hill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that, and then, like, demons even, not a real go-to for me, but that seems to be the big thing nowadays. And then the special effects just weren't there for me at the time, like, you know, and sometimes you can't, you kind of enjoy that, the campiness of it all, but
yes,
I don't
totally
know. And that's what I mean. I'm a kind of a snob because I just watched the 80s version of The Blob, and a lot of like varying degrees of good and bad special effects in that. Some of
totally.
It's, most of it's really impressive, but you know, it still seems like, they even said, it's like, we didn't really lock down what the blob was, and you could kind of feel that.
Right.
But see, that had a charm to it with its somewhat campiness, but with Poltergeist, I'm just like, eh, it's too obvious special.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you like the theme music? I think horror movie music is super important, and in this one they used 33 violins.
For that big sting moment, like the big, you know,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning and the end of the film, where it's just like,
yes.
We're gonna bombard you with sound.
Yes.
It's the movie saying, fuck you.
Like, yes.
Scary. which I'm here for.
Same.
But no, it's pretty cool. And yeah, they picked moments to like, so they picked moments to have scary music going on with nothing scary going on.
Yeah.
And then scary shit going on with no music
with
going
no
on.
No sound even. Like, yeah, it was weird.
I liked
me too.
Lot.
It kind of tried to distinct itself a little bit from the genre, yeah. Which was fun.
And it's a little abrupt too at sometimes where it's just like, and piano slam. It's like, God, why are
oh
they,
my God. Yeah, the piano slams always do get the jump out of me.
Right.
Always. Even when, like, sometimes that noise happens and you're like, oh, nothing really even, but I still jump because
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that startled me.
Right.
Wasn't expecting it.
Totally. And see, cheap scares like that, you know, as long as you don't do it too frequently. But this, yeah, it was very interesting. The music was good, but definitely jarring.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Totally. What did you think of the ending?
I don't know how to feel about it because...
Yeah.
Okay, there's sequels to this thing, but that definitely did not feel like it was in their thoughts when making this movie.
I know, and it's so weird because, like, it did wrap kind of, like, I guess sort of on a cliffhanger, but at the same time, you're like, I don't think I've seen, I think I saw number two,
uh-huh.
but I don't think I saw the third or the fourth one.
Right.
And from my understanding, the fourth one is actually more about like the pre-events that happen. Like, you know how you see that random family in the further?
Right.
Like the
oh, it's
the,
about
like, I think it's about them.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on it because, again, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm kind of curious after reading that.
That's
I'm like,
usually
oh, maybe
the process
I might like that.
Of horror movies. It's like, sequel, and we're going back, like
prequel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Interesting. But it's like a lot happens, like, right, and everybody comes back in the sequels where it's like it's kind of indicated that some people aren't coming
are
back
dead.
like
the lady that the medium, mm-hmm. I cannot remember her name,
Renee.
Elise, thank you. Elise is killed by the dad.
Right.
By, you know, his demon-possessed body or whatever.
Right, yes.
Poltergeist that I don't fucking know. His possessed body.
Yeah.
And yeah, you sort of also are like, well, what's about to happen to the mom?
Right.
Because like she realizes what just happened, you know, like, and it just sort of ends there.
Yes. And that's the other thing. It's like, it's kind of a cliffhanger, but not like also one of those that you're supposed to interpret yourself. It's like all of the endings, like,
yeah,
left to interpretation, but also maybe a sequel, but also it's all over. Like, it's like, wait,
what? But also we're gonna bring these people back that we just killed.
Yeah,
like, what?
I don't know how you I don't know how they pull that. I almost want to see the sequel just to see how they pull that off, but also no, don't assign it to me.
Okay. I'm like trying to remember and I don't remember. I really like that actress. I think she's really great.
Rose Byrne, who we saw in Neighbors, very different role.
I really love her.
Yeah.
I just think she's such a charmer for me.
Yeah.
I think I have a lady crush on her because she is just like, I don't know. I am compelled by her acting no matter what.
Right.
I think if she would have maybe been assigned, like been, if she would have gotten a different shot for different movies, like she could have been like Natalie Portman,
right?
Sort of like, I feel I get the same vibes from them, in a good way.
Yes.
Obviously because I like Natalie Portman, but, yeah. Anyways, and I like the Elise character too. The older lady.
Same.
I think she's really she's compelling.
Best character. Yeah.
So I understand why they wanted to bring her back, but I'm like, why did you kill her?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Not at all. Like, and again, like, see, that's what reinforces the idea. I don't think they were even considering sequels, which with horror you kind of always want to, you know.
You should.
Yeah,
you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so weird.
Yeah. These kind of fit into the, both of these movies sort of fit into the classic haunted house, classic horror films.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite subgenre in horror movies? We kind of touched on it a little bit, but
oh, I like, so yeah, not so much haunted. Yeah, interesting. Not so much haunted houses. What do I like in my horror?
Would yours be like monsters?
See, I do like the Universal
Monsters. You
like monsters.
Monsters?
Like, I like the classical monsters. Anything playing with those IPs, whether it be Frankenstein, Dracula, or Wolfman, and those classic figures too. Like, give me a new take on the vampire, a new take on the werewolf. Yeah, as long as it's not Twilight.
That's definitely not a horror film. Although it could be, depending on the perspective.
I mean, his behavior is horrifying. Like, yeah. So yeah, I guess those more so, and then like more, I guess, serial killery.
Sure.
I don't want to say, like, not psychological, I guess psychological drama, but not, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, like, a psychological thriller. Something that
there
can
we go.
Give
psychological
me, like,
thriller. Like, more of,
yeah, like, something that, like, fucks with my mind and scares me a little bit. Like, something that could really happen. Those are my kinds of scary movies. I don't necessarily like them, but right. I'm genuinely scared when I watch them.
Yeah.
Which I think there's something to be said for that, you know?
For sure. I'm dipping more into, like, yeah, some of the more schlocky type stuff. Like, I do have a spot for, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I loved that
nice.
Shit. All versions. Like, the classic is amazing. But Scream, not so much. Like, you know, slashers, not so much my thing, ironically.
Mine either. Like, although I can watch them and, like, I do, like, chuckle. Like, I, like, find more humor in them. And maybe they're not trying to be funny, but I'm just like, I can't take it very seriously.
Yeah.
So it's not very scary to me.
Right. There you go.
One of my favorite psychological, like, horror thrillers is Get Out, which I know you loved as well.
Yeah.
Like, that to me was, like, genuinely scary. Maybe not, like, fantastical. Like these two movies were a little bit more on the fantastical element, but still scary in its own right.
Yes. Big time. Yeah, it's a new kind of horror because they're like social commentary horrors.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah. We will. Like, that's
kind of... I totally was into that.
Yeah, that's the thing now. Psychological. Because what we're finding is, like, what's horrifying now? It's like, oh, unchecked, you know, undealt with trauma, which is a human
right?
thing. Like, we're focusing more on, like, yeah, the real things, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I totally respect people who watch horror to get away from the real life scariness and to like jump into the like fake scariness. I totally understand that as well.
Definitely.
Have you ever had lucid dreams or sleep paralysis?
No, not at all. Yeah, no, lucky. I don't even get to, I don't really remember my dreams anymore, unfortunately, which, I mean, everybody dreams, but it's whether you remember them or not. I don't remember them as much anymore. I still do occasionally, but not as much. Yeah.
I dream a lot, and I have very, very, like, vivid dreams. I would say I have, like, one really intense vivid dream a week, probably. And sometimes I can have lucid dreams where I know I'm dreaming and I can take control of the narrative. I've only had sleep paralysis, like, maybe 3 times ever, but it's quite terrifying.
Yeah.
Our younger sister has sleep paralysis often. And that is, like, when you know you're sleeping, you can't wake up. You're aware that you're laying there asleep. And when I watch this movie, it makes me think of that.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would ask.
Heck yeah.
I think that was all of my questions.
Perfect.
Time for our favorites.
Favorites. All right.
Favorite performance.
All right. Goes to Lynn Shay, who plays Elise. Yeah, I think she's the coolest character in the thing, obviously.
She's so good.
Yeah, she's the medium who sees shit and is great at whispering and also saying, "Leave this vessel!"
Yes, she's very cool.
And my friend Rachel got to work with her on a horror movie she made called Gothic Harvest. And yeah, she said she was that pretty cool.
Is very cool. Yeah. What an awesome thing that she got to do.
Hell yeah. With honorary mention going to Rose Byrne, who, yeah, was given some emotional depth for this horror movie in some really weird situations. I mean, Patrick Wilson is always good, but his character kind of sucked and, like, you know, didn't get a lot until the last quarter of the movie, you know.
It's so interesting. Like, they could have really played with his emotional depth in this, and they didn't. And I feel like if it was made today, it would focus a lot more on him and like having flashbacks to maybe like seeing sketchy shit. Like, you know, like we would have gotten to see things from his point of view a little more.
Right.
But instead we saw like her dealing with everything, him staying late at work.
Yeah.
Her trying to balance it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was, you know, kind of a bummer.
What a jerk.
What a jerk. But he did great.
Yeah.
Favorite scene.
When Elise reveals the truth about the haunting in the family, that whole scene was great. Also where things really started to get weird for me, where it's just like, oh, okay, we're really getting supernatural, like this is getting Stephen King-y, where it's like,
yeah,
we're like world building. See, wasn't expecting that. I was just was experiencing just a straightforward scary movie, but then it took on this turn where it's like, no, we're getting mythological with this shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Were you scared of the old lady?
A little bit, which was played by a man dressed in women's clothing. Like, yeah.
Oh, cool. Scary. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite quote.
It's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
Good trick. Yeah. It's so good.
You can tell it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Heck yeah.
What would you rate it out of 5 stars?
Give it a 3. Cause
nice.
It's a decent, like, it's a decently made movie. It's definitely unique enough from horror stuff that it makes me enjoy it a little more. I did kind of like the world building. But also, it was a little confounding where it's like, okay, now I'm thinking a little too much. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And it did take, like, I like that they give you a story, but it did take a little while to get to that second half, and it does feel a little rushed once you finally get there.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice if they could have, like, smoothed out that storytelling a little more, you know?
Yeah.
Would you rewatch and recommend?
It's not not so much a rewatch for me because I think it is a little too slow, but
yeah,
I would recommend it. Again, I would recommend it to, like, you know, you want to see if you can handle scary movies, this will be okay for you.
I mean, definitely a good beginner,
but not okay, but okay, like, type thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. And would you reboot it?
Not really. Like, again, like, you know, just, you know, keep playing around with stuff. Like, you know, they got to The Conjuring, and that to me was that's the key. Like, those are
hell yeah.
So no reboot necessary.
Agreed. Good. We
so
did it.
There's wow. That.
We almost did it.
Almost. So now it's time. What's that?
The connections.
All right. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Here we go. And
chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made, small in size, light in weight. It's the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
And so we are all connected in the great circle of life.
All right, Casey, what do you got for connections?
Both have possession involved.
Big time. I also put demons, like, just generically, like, demons are involved.
Demons exist.
Both feature a lot of action and scares that take place at interior locations.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Both have a haunted house / cabin.
Yep. Or person.
Or person.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the only, those are the big ones. Anything else?
Jump scares galore.
Okay, yep.
Both have, like, an open ending, because at the end of Evil Dead, the book shuts itself, and we can see that it made it out of the fire, and it's waiting for its next victim.
True.
And Insidious, we know that the poltergeist has taken possession of, you know, the husband, and
right,
that's not over either.
Great.
And then both are part of larger franchises.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, big time. Yeah, so yeah. Obvious. What am I thinking?
It's okay. There's... it's too obvious.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even need to voice it.
Absolutely. So there's those connections.
Woo,
and now it is time for some movie matchmaking.
Oh, yeah.
But look at this nice thing, though, we have here.
Matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
All right. So if you enjoyed the movie Insidious, you might also enjoy The Conjuring, which we've mentioned frequently.
Yes.
Poltergeist also got mentioned. And then The Others, which was a movie starring Nicole Kidman. This one, it's a little differently. It's a little more of your generic, straightforward haunted house ghost movie. But really good performance from Nicole Kidman, and just really good, yeah, classic horror movie. So,
love it.
Yeah.
And if you enjoyed Evil Dead, you might enjoy Drag Me to Hell.
Great.
The Possession.
Great.
And Oculus.
Oculus. Oh, what's that? Who's that got in it? Nobody's? Okay.
Karen Gillan.
Okay. That's...
we know her from Jumanji.
Yes, love
her. Among other things.
Okay.
Mike Flanagan.
Okay.
James Lafferty, which he's from One Tree Hill, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so some peeps.
Okay.
Some cool peeps.
Oculus, very nice. Okay, and now comes the time for recommendations.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to recommend, so Monster Cereal should be in stores now. Get yourself a box of this Fruit Brute, which is the... not new, but it's newly added this year. They're, yeah, putting it back in circulation. This is the one with the little werewolf dude on the front.
Nice.
Cherry flavored with marshmallows. It's delicious. I love these monster cereals. It puts you in the Halloween spirit. So get yourself some.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a TV show on Peacock. It's called Vampire Academy. I read these books. Like, I started reading them when they were coming out when I was in high school. And I followed them through, like, my early 20s. There are, like, 13 or 14 books total. Anyways, whole world building thing. And they tried to make a movie. Was not good.
Got it.
So now they're trying the TV show route. And they're changing a lot. But I'm enjoying it a lot. They're keeping all the important things, and so that's what matters to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty fun, and I think it's doing well. Like, they're selling merch for it and everything, so I feel like it's got enough of a following to hopefully get another season. So check it out. Maybe you'll like it.
Vampire Academy.
Vampire Academy.
I love it. All right, folks. Well, if you have a recommendation of your own that you want to send our way, you can send it to us via email.
At movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram.
At the Movie Connection, all one word.
Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at KC Schwartz.
We've got a Facebook, all the socials. You can also head on over, maybe give a little rate and review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars helps us get a little more noticed and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. It would be most appreciated. All right, now the moment we've all been waiting for. You know, this kind of concludes our Halloween theme, unfortunately, which was a lot of fun.
It was.
Really enjoyed it, but now we're reaching the end of the season, which means we like to do, we'd love to get some animated movies in. So we're going to get those in this week. And do mixing it up a little bit, because we have one movie that both of us have seen.
Yes.
And then another movie, which was recommended to us by a friend who was also on the podcast last season.
Yes, for our finale last season, actually.
Yeah. So we thought this would be perfect time to bring her in and get her to shut up about recommending this movie all the time to me. It's like, I never hear the end of it. So the movie she's recommending that we watch, assigning us, is Watership Down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the original, not the remake that came out within the last few years.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yep. And then Casey, the movie that we assigned her as one we grew up with. What's the name of that one?
Secret of Nim.
The Secret of Nim, which is a Don Bluth flick. Really good. So while these aren't generic, you know, your typical scary movie, these are definitely a little scary and hard to handle for kids. But it was definitely
marketed towards children.
So, you know,
for certain,
the good old days.
Yes, that's so true.
So really looking forward to having her on the show. It's been great.
It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, it's been great to get these guests in, you know, so
mm-hmm.
Here we go. Tune in next week, everybody. Take care. Enjoy the spooky season as it goes on.
Stay safe. Bye.
All physical objects, man-made, stored inside, night is the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.